A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father and God of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. The Word of the Lord. Like St. Paul, St. Anthony Mary Claret, whose memorial may be celebrated today, was a missionary and preacher. He not only founded several religious congregations, but wrote numerous catechetical pamphlets and became the bishop of Santiago, Cuba, before retiring to his native Spain. The calling of a missionary is to create a kind of unity between the ancient Mother Church and a new community and culture. Today, during this Jubilee year commemorating the birth of St. Paul, the great apostle and missionary, speaks to us of our calling to union with God and how to attain it. To delve deeper into this passage from Ephesians, we really need to start at the end and work our way back to the beginning. The goal of our calling is the one God of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. The Holy Trinity is the fundamental source and goal of all unity. God the Father is over all, creating, guiding, and sustaining everything in existence. God the Son works through all, pervading and being present to everything. Jesus himself said that it was through him that we come to the Father. God the Holy Spirit is in all by indwelling those whom God has chosen. The Spirit enlightens, purifies, comforts, and forms the human spirit into the temple of the Trinity. So God is over all as Father, through all as the Logos or Word, and in all by the Holy Spirit. The 3rd century Egyptian theologian Origen expressed this spiritual truth by a physical analogy to the sun in the heavens. Quote, "We agree that the sun is above all things on earth. By its rays, it may be said at the same time to be through all, and insofar as the power of its light penetrates everywhere, it can also be said to be in all. In this way, I think that God's majesty is denoted by the power, by the phrase, above all. God's all-sufficiency is denoted in the words, through all, and it belongs to the power of God to penetrate into all, so that because of his being in all, not one is entirely void of him." End of quotation. Our call of our Christian vocation is to be one body, one hope, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That one body is the church, the community of believers. The one Spirit is the breath animating that mystical body, the church. We are all called to one hope of everlasting glory in the New Jerusalem, where the one Lord, Jesus Christ, the head of the body, will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One faith and one baptism are the way we first respond to this call. Our baptism is the external sign of our interior faith. And all Christians are bound together because they have that common act of complete surrender to the love of Jesus Christ. One of the means to live a life worthy of our vocation are the Christian virtues that Paul mentions. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing through love, preserving the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let us look at each of those just briefly. Humility, sometimes translated in the Bible as meekness, is the opposite of anger and irritability. Humility is a uniquely Christian virtue based upon the correct estimate of our actual littleness and linked with a sense of sinfulness. True greatness is holiness, and humility enables us to see our truth, our relationship to God and neighbor. St. Basil the Great called humility the gem setting of all the virtues. But before Christianity, humility was not considered a virtue at all. They looked upon it as something to be despised. The ancients thought humility was a cowering, cringing, servile, ignoble quality. Yet Jesus places it at the forefront of all virtues and even said to learn of him because he was gentle and humble. Humility comes from self-knowledge, and Jesus is the standard and norm of all Christians. Next to him, there's no room for pride. Gentleness. Gentleness comes from a Greek word describing an animal that has been trained and domesticated until it is completely under control. Therefore, again, the person who is gentle is not weak, but they have every instinct and passion under perfect control. We're not self-controlled, we're God-controlled. Christian meekness based on humility, it's not a natural virtue or quality of the human person, but it comes out of our renewed nature through our baptism and union with Christ. The gentle bear patiently the contradictions of life, forgiving and restoring to other people a peaceful relationship with Christ. Patience holds up under trial. It's the persistence and endurance, whether in action or in suffering. It is a spirit that never gives in. Because it endures to the end, it will reap its reward. Christian patience is a spirit that never admits defeat in seeking to grow in virtue. It bears insults and injury without bitterness and complaint. It can suffer unpleasant people with graciousness and fools without too much irritation. The Christian must have the patience towards others that God has shown toward him or her. Loving forbearance means sustaining one another, supporting, helping one another in the miseries and trials of life. It can also mean bearing, enduring, tolerating one another. We have to bear one another's weaknesses and illnesses and temperaments, not lash out at them. And we also have to remember that they have to bear with us. Christian love is so totally new. It's not an emotion, but an act of the will. It is the ability to retain unconquerable goodwill to the unlovely and the unlovable, to those who do not love us, and to those whom we do not like. Peace. There can be no doubt that the people Paul was writing to at Ephesus were a church composed of Jew and Gentile. their different cultures and backgrounds frequently caused conflict. But Paul shows them that they should intensely work to promote and preserve peace and unity. This unity of the Spirit is not only a spiritual unity, but a unity of sentiments, desires, affections, such as is worthy and springs from the Holy Spirit. The bond of peace we are to understand is one that seeks the interest of all parties and unites us and seals us within the Holy Spirit. It's a right relationship with people. All of these great virtues depend on forgetfulness of self. So long as our self is at the center of things, this unity or oneness can never fully exist. Where self is at the center, there is argument, disharmony, and even war. These are not meant to be imaginary, theoretical virtues found only in the books or vague dreams of bygone days. These virtues are desperately needed today, wherever two or three gather in the Lord's name. If all Catholics tried to practice these virtues, parishes would have less divisions. Religious communities and families would show more peace and harmony. This is a very practical way of living our Christian vocation. Jesus Christ is the source of the unity between peoples, the breaking down of the barriers of hostility that separate us. The Holy Spirit is the bond of unity, breathing within us and forming us into the one body of Christ. The Father is the goal of unity, with whom we live and move and have our being. Each one of us is called to be a missionary. We're in a missionary church, and that the first mission country or area is our own environment, our own situation. The essential part of being a missionary is to evangelize, to spread the word of God in our lives first by our example. We may not be called by the Lord to travel halfway around the world like St. Anthony Mary Claret, but we can go next door and talk to our neighbor or the person at the office. Or even if we're homebound or even in prison, there's the mighty power of prayer. Pope Benedict XVI recently said in his Sunday Angelus that prayer is the first missionary duty of each one of us. It is first of all through prayer that the way for the gospel is prepared. It is through prayer that hearts are open to the mystery of God and that souls are disposed to receive his word of salvation. May each of us become a living, vibrant prayer, a missionary prayer for the Word of God.